Okay, the fifth aliyah of Parshas Balozcha, we'll just say a few words, starts off by Hiba Shana Hashenus Bachodesh Hasheni Bashram Bachodesh, Na'ala Ha'anan Me'al Mishkan Ha'idus, and here on the 20th day of the second month in the second year, the cloud was taken up from the Mishkan, and the Jews began their journey out of Midbar Sinai, Ba'yishkan Ha'anan Ba'midbar Paran, and the cloud rested in Midbar Paran, and they first took their journey according to Hashem's commandment in the hands of Moshe. So here they are traveling, and it describes how all the Shvatim are involved. And if you note here, to skip a little bit, the Pasuk of Aleph, it says, V'nosu ha-kohasim nosei ha-mikdash v'ikimu es ha-mishkan ad bo'am. So here the kohasim are lifting up the Mikdash, and the Yerushalmi, in the beginning of the fifth parak of Erevin, poses the question of how did they know which way to go, and tells us that the Aron would actually direct itself, would show the direction, because it would orient itself to which direction it was supposed to be, and that's how they would know where the various Ruchos were. So this, of course, has symbolic reference, symbolic relevance, the whole idea that the Torah itself is our compass, helps us, in modern parlance, to use the phrase true north. Here we're not talking about north, but we're talking about towards Eretz Yisrael, but one way or another, the idea that the Torah is our compass and shows us direction is given both literal and symbolic meaning. And if you skip to Pasuk Chav Hei, so we read about Dan, which was the Maaseh for Kohen Machnos, and brought up the rear, literally. And here, that same Gemara in Erevin explains that they were the most populous, so therefore they were in the back, and if anybody were to lose something, they were able to fulfill Hashavas Aveda, they could return it. And Torah Tumima points out, and Rav Shmuel Hirsch also notes, that Chazal have a machlokas about the formation of the Jews as they traveled, whether they traveled in a row or whether they traveled in a box. So if they traveled in a row, so then this means they were simply literally the back. And if they traveled in a box, so then they were spread out along the back of the box. If we skip to Pasuk Chavtes, so here there's a somewhat confusing reference, because we see here Chovav ben Ruel Hamijani, Hosein Moshe. So there's a reference to Moshe's father-in-law, and Reuel and Chovav, both of those are possibly names of Yisro, one is referred to as the son of the other. So there's an extensive discussion as to what exactly is the reference here, which one is which, is a grandfather being referred to as a father. This is a extensive discussion in the Forshim, a lot of different interpretations as to how to understand the Pasuk, but one way or another, there is a progression here where Moshe communicates with Yisro and asks him to stay with him. And the language of Chovav, if that is a reference to Yisro, which at least in some sense it is, Rosham Shunafal Hirsch comments that it is an affectionate reference to the fact that he is a ger who came to Judaism through love, through tremendous affection for the Jewish people and its value system, and therefore that's being highlighted, the aspect of being a ger tzedek, being somebody who is driven by that passion and that sincerity. So Moshe highlights the fact that nosim anachnu el hamakom, that we are traveling. So this is a crucial detail here. Now Rashi comments that they actually would have gone straight on into Eretz Yisrael were it not for the misonanim, were it not for those who complained. And that has tremendous significance here. The next aliyah is where we find the upside-down nuns. And the significance of the upside-down nuns, which apparently delineate a completely separate sefer right in the middle of Sefer Bamidbar, what exactly that represents, the topic of much discussion, and Rav Soloveitchik, in a often quoted drasha, suggests that this is to show that history was turned upside down, that this was supposed to be the triumphant march of the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael, but things got sidetracked and inverted, because of the misbehavior of the Jews in various ways. So Tosfos in Maseches Kedushin and Daf Lamed Zayin in the base says it was because of the Meraglim, which is one of the ways we normally understand how the Jews were set off track. And here Rashi cites the Mesonimim, which seems to be hard to understand why the Mesonimim should be a source of such problems, why even Moshe Rabbeinu seems to give up because of that. The same Moshe Rabbeinu who's able to defend them after the Egel HaZav, you would think that it's the hard way Yavor, that's among the worst of all Averos, and here the fact that they want meat, that they complain in such a petty but mundane kind of way, is the source of such a being set off track in such a tragic way. And is it that or is it the Meraglim? It's a little bit hard to understand. So it seems to be that it could, in a sense, be both, and then they're related. And in a sense, it's understandable why it is so difficult to deal with, even for somebody who could defend them, even in the face of a Avodah Zarah, because the attitude of really not being able to be satisfied with anything and to be able to say that, oh, we were happier in Mitzrayim, shows that there is essentially a way of looking at things which is never going to be happy. And the attitude of the Meraglim is essentially something that is in common with that. So whether it's the Meraglim we look at, or whether we look at the Mesonimim, it's a question of perspective. And in the end of the parsha, we're going to read about the Avera of Lashon Hara and Miriam's involvement in that. And the nature of that Lashon Hara is very important to appreciate. That seems to also be a question not necessarily of factual information, but also of assessment and perspective. And that is itself essentially an infinite kind of problem, because no matter what there is on the ground, if one has a perspective of negativity, then ultimately nothing is going to be able to overcome that. And that's similar to an attitude of cynicism. It all comes from a perspective that if one's not willing to change, then ultimately nothing is going to be able to prevail over that. So yes, it seems like it's so petty, and it seems like it's nothing compared to cardinal sins such as Avodah Zarah, but until that can be corrected, until that can be reoriented, so then there is essentially a fatal problem. And perhaps the idea of the upside-down nuns of the next Aliyah is essentially about breaking the pattern, because that's the only thing that can make a difference when there is the inertia that comes from an attitude of negativity. The only way there's going to be anything that can break that is if something comes and just changes the pattern and turns things upside down, and ultimately that's what has to happen. So that was originally the plan. They were going to march right in, and as Rashi also points out, that this was before the Gzeirah on Moshe himself, so Moshe thought that he was also going to be a part of this, and he was going to go in, Nosu Menachtem al HaMakom, and he wants his father-in-law to come with him. So please join with us, Ve'hitavnu lach. Things are going to be good with us, Ki Hashem Diver Tov al Yisrael. And the Chassam Sofer has a comment here that he focuses only on the fact that things are supposed to be good for the Jews and not bad for our enemies, because when Yisro heard about what happened to Mitzrayim, and the Pasuk says, Vayichad Yisro, and one of the interpretations is he got all nervous about that, so maybe Moshe is afraid that he's going to get nervous if he hears about the bad things that happened to the enemies of the Jewish people, so he's only focusing on the good things that are going to happen to the Jews, and tries to encourage him to come along. And the Yisro demurs and says, no, I want to go back to my land. So Moshe tries another tactic, and Pasuk Lamed Aleph, and he says, V'yomer, Al na ta'azov oslanu, ki al ken yadata chanoseinu b'midbar v'yisolanu le'inayim, that you'll be our guide, you'll be our eyes. And Rosham Shnofal Hirsch has a comment here about the fact that this is commemorated here in this, in the Torah, the fact that Moshe is asking for advice, asking for guidance, and that this is very similar to what you find in the Parsha named after Yisro, that Yisro's advice to Moshe is recorded there, and that the whole mentality is that, first of all, the Torah is not afraid to show us, and Moshe is not afraid to show us the need for guidance from someone else, and in fact a non-Jewish person. The Arachayim has a comment there that we're not afraid to show that Jews are not necessarily the only smart ones, and that's not what we are proud of, despite the fact that that's what the world thinks we're so proud of, right? But we're here for our morality and not necessarily for our strategic intelligence. But also here is specifically Moshe's willingness to allow that to be on display and to show that he's not necessarily the master organizer or strategist, and therefore the Torah is not from him, but the Torah is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he is a vehicle for the Torah to be transmitted to the Jewish people, and all of that is clearly evident if he needs to turn to Yisro in order to guide him through the desert. So towards the end of the Aliyah, the second to last pasuk tells us, V'yisu me'ar Hashem. So they departed from the mountain of Hashem. And the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos on Daf Kuf Tazayin Amud Aleph tells us that this has a more negative message than it maybe sounds like, that not just that they physically left, but that Saru Me'achrei Hashem, that they got on a bad path. And that's also what is meant to be conveyed here, that they got off track in the other sense of the word, and that's why they didn't make it into Eretz Yisrael at that form, in that sense, at that time. And the Marsha asks, how do you necessarily see that from the pasuk? And the Torah Tamima comments that otherwise you don't see Sinai referred to as Har Hashem, and so therefore the emphasis of using Hashem's name here is a way of saying that it's more than just the physical location. And the Tanchuma and Tosfos over there in Shabbos quotes that this is Kitinokos Avorchos Mibes HaMedrash, that the mentality was that they were not just finished with receiving the Torah because the process had ended, but they had an attitude of saying that, okay, they're done and now they can run away. And at this time of year where that mentality can be readily evidenced, so school is over and you know, the student's just happy to leave, or is there a learning that takes place even after the school year is officially over? So those who take the opportunity to learn in June and to show that they are committed to learning even when it's not officially on the schedule, even when it's after finals, even when it's after the tests. So it's a especially important display to show that we are not Kitinokos Borchos Mibes HaMedrash, that we're not looking to run at the first opportunity as soon as the mandatory learning is over right after the final, but we stay for every last possible opportunity. That's very crucial, and that's a refutation to the mistake and a tikkun for this original mistake that set us off track, and especially at this time when we have to look for any opportunity to fix whatever mistakes keep us in exile. So this is a special opportunity to capitalize on.